listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ, live coast to coast. Think about what that means. Kawhi signs. We are here live to tell you what it means to the odds. We will project and speculate. 6 o'clock Eastern. It's 3 o'clock here in Vegas. And we got the right boys for the job. The pros who know. Brad Powers. Steve Fezzik. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. We got Knicks talk on top of Kawhi. And just to let you know, if Kawhi does a certain thing, it will be a historic favorite. If he does another thing, history made regardless. Lakers or Toronto, there's going to be a really unusual odds. In one case, a big, big favorite. In the other case, maybe the most wide open title odds we've seen for a long time. You can't have Prozo without Joe's. He's in L.A. and he's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And we start with the Women's World Cup, where the United States is on to their third straight final in a World Cup after a 2-1 win over England earlier. So what is the Vegas perspective on the U.S. win and specifically Megan Rapinoe, a late scratch?
So, Jonas, you're a little bit younger. When you hit your 40s, you start thinking about, I wonder what 20-year-old RJ would think about this.
Yeah.
You know? And I got to be honest. One of my personal goals in life was never host a show that started out with, we start with the Ladies World Cup. So that said, I'm doing it for the team. I'm not a huge soccer fan. And I get it. I get it. It's going to be the next sport. Now, I tend to remember that, like from 1988, that it was going to be the next big sport. So we'll see what happens. But what we do know is the people that like it, they love it. And you got to respect it. If there's a sport you love, it gives your life joy. So U.S. won. Brad, coming into the game, what was the likelihood the USA would advance?
Yeah, the U.S. was a minus 250 favorite. So you had to bet $250 to win 100, RJ.
Now, it's so funny because we're going to get into this with Golden State. We're going to get into it regarding if the Lakers do end up being a historic favorite. It still isn't like 90%. It's not 99. So, Fez, if you just did the quick math broadly, minus 250 coming in meant what was the chance USA was going to advance?
70%.
So think about that. I mean, I'm just going to do some quick math. 30% of the time, they would have lost that game. And, oh my gosh, would that have been the lead? But now we're just knowing, like, yep, that's what we expected. But 70, think about some free throw shooters that are 70%. They miss a lot of free throws. You know, Jonas, you mentioned with the best player and a late scratch. Did you see any, you know, we've been preaching, when there's betting involved, you got to allow the marketplace to have the information they need. Is there any sense that didn't happen here in your mind?
I did not. We were talking about it before the show. I didn't hear anything about it until way late, and I think everybody was surprised by it. And the fact that she didn't even warm up, like wasn't even a part of the warm-ups, that was a little odd to me.
Yeah, so I guess the question is, so the assumption is there's an injury she had that no one knew about, hamstrings with her reporting, yep. And then boom, right before the game, oh, she's not going to play. I mean, I guess that fits in regards to You're betting on the U.S., which actually makes the point about the likelihood of them winning the game. I wonder what the odds would have been if it was known that she wasn't going to play. It'd be obviously less than 70%.
I can tell you they dropped about 25 cents in the hour leading up to the game.
Okay, so it was known for about an hour
leading
up.
About an hour, yep.
Okay, so each league makes their own rules. And what I'll just say plainly is, now that, and listen, soccer's always been bet huge in Europe. Now that there's significant regulated sports betting in the U.S., the leagues that don't make it mandatory with real penalties to not properly give the full information of injuries are setting themselves up for insider information. The NFL was very forward-thinking. Decades ago, I think it was Roselle did this, he made those injury reports mandatory. Now, at different times, Belichick messed with them. We saw the Rams with Gurley, obviously weren't fully on the up and up as far as I could see. And I get it. It's a competitive advantage not to tell your opponent, oh, our quarterback's a little banged up. But what's the positive? Why is it necessary? It's because if everyone doesn't know, only certain people know. And who do you think those certain people are going to be? Brad, any ideas?
People that bet.
Well, people that bet a lot
yeah.
of money.
Yeah.
All right. So we mention him probably once a month, but it bears repeating. Billy Walters, famous syndicate batter, 60 Minutes did an extended profile. Check it out on YouTube. Billy Walters. Probably the most successful bettor of all time in sports. Some say he made upwards of 300 sticks, as we like to call it. And let's just say allegedly over the whole conversation, Fez, but allegedly there'd be guys like Billy Walters that would pay a trainer for a Toledo, a San Diego. And lo and behold, how much is that trainer making?
Oh, $30,000 a year, maybe $40,000 a year.
And you say, hey, if here's the scenarios we want to hear from you. And if we do, we're going to give you $5,000. You'll have $5,000 in cash in your mailbox. Now, if all they're saying is, hey, that quarterback, you know, our quarterback, his knee's a little more banged up than you thought. He's figuring, what am I doing wrong? I'm not hurting the team's chance to win. Unless there was real legal jeopardy, I think a lot of trainers would do that. Wouldn't you say, Fez?
Well, why not? I mean,
some would say ethics. I know that doesn't affect you.
But you lose your job.
I totally understand. It's so funny how he doesn't even see the other side at all. Like, I get it that most people, you know, I'm being nice and say, you know, maybe half or so. Fez is like, well, why wouldn't you? It'd be insane.
Everybody, I'm the dirtiest player in the game.
All right, Fez, make your case.
Everybody wins. No one gets hurt, right? As they say.
Oh, he's quoting Wall Street again. It's one of his seven movies that he knows. So the reality is, and it really is a reality, the Billy Walters of the world, the syndicates that are betting $100,000, $200,000 on the games they really like, more if they like them a lot. There's a rumor he had $2 million once on a Super Bowl, just Billy and his, you know, syndicate. How much is that information worth? It's a lot. But if everybody knows, then Billy can't buy inside information, and that is best for all of these leagues.
If the commissioners from each sport came to you and said, RJ, you're the voice of Vegas, what can we do that would make it fair for everybody involved? How long before should we release this stuff? How should they do it?
I would say this. Half a dozen of one, six of the other. As long as it's generally out there, I don't think the details matter. But what matters, Jonas, is the penalty. Meaning it's got to be some variation of the player who you misreported. Because based upon how good that player is, in fact, I just thought of this, and I love this idea, okay? You know, this is interesting. Here's what I suggest. The player who gets misreported is out for two games. So now, because if you find him 100K or something, which is, you know, or even $1 million, if it's a Tom Brady, if it's a quarterback, you're thinking maybe it's worth misleading them. I mean, would the Rams have misled perhaps with Gurley, even if there was $1 million fine? Maybe. Because, I mean, the stakes were the Super Bowl.
Yeah, how much is a Super Bowl victory worth?
Exactly. So if you connected, it seems, Jonas, to the player himself, how good he is, I think you got something. Now it's like, we better report this, or if we get it wrong, this guy's out for 2 games. And with that, is it that hard? Is it that much to ask the leagues to just tell the truth to the public? I mean, it's like, you know, boy, you're asking a lot, Commissioner. You want us to actually tell the truth? Why should it be such a big deal?
Yeah, it's coaches and old school coaches like Belichick. They don't like it because they don't want to give any information. But then the league's in a quandary because they want to be loyal to the league and the coaches and the players. But at the same time, they realize, especially with betting getting as popular as it is, they've got to start looking at this thing differently.
Well, do they, though? Do the leagues realize it? Because I would make the case the Gurley misreporting was the most egregious we've seen in how long? I mean, years and years and years. So let's recap it. Gurley, one of the top 5 backs in the NFL.
Yep.
He was the, what was the old line from the Rams guy? Or the drink? I guess that's a Reggie Jackson line. He goes, I was the straw that stirs the drink. This was the queen on the chessboard. That's what I was thinking of. Is what Gurley represents or represented. We'll see. And the Rams were considered the best team in the NFL. Fez, you took some crazy bet against me, and you lost, if I recall.
Yeah, that didn't pan out.
But you thought the Rams were a historically good team at one point during the year.
After they crushed their first 3 opponents.
And don't justify. And then then Gurley was the driver of that, right?
Yeah.
If Gurley versus Goff, Gurley is more differentiated.
Gurley set up Goff for the play action.
Exactly. And then, lo and behold, he gets hurt. Okay, it happens. But then when you get to the playoffs and are going into New Orleans, and he carried the ball, what, 4 times in that game?
4 carries.
But he's not on the injury report. And then in the Super Bowl, how many carries? I mean,
like 8?
Yeah, like 8 or 10 for like 35 yards.
And then after, in the news alert, Gurley might be more hurt than we thought. Yeah, okay. So to me, but really, what is the consequence? Have the Rams been fined?
Nothing. Consequence.
So they'd be idiots to actually report it correctly.
Exactly.
Yeah, Fez is like, there's no ethics involved. And to me, last point on this, I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. It's the same thing with PEDs. I don't know about bike racing, you know. I know Greg LeMond was a guy when I was growing up. And I think everyone would agree if no one cheated to not cheat. Like if there's a way that there's a pledge, there's a, you know, omniscient being that's up there sitting above it all saying, okay, no one's cheating, guys, play ball. I think everyone would accept that. But the story with Barry Bonds that's been reported is he was looking around and saying, well, wait a minute. McGuire's getting all this attention. Others are getting all this attention. Sosa, all that. And I feel like I'm a better player. This is Bonds. And lo and behold, he was juiced up, allegedly, whatever. He was the best player we've ever seen, which is wild to think that version of Bonds was better than any player in baseball history. And it probably wasn't even close. But Bonds would have been just fine, you would think, being clean if everyone else was clean.
Oh, certain Hall of Famer.
He thought he was just leveling the playing field.
Exactly. Fez has the right words for it. You know, he struggles for words oftentimes, but when he's cheating, he just it just flows out of his mouth somehow. So to me, if the league made it where everybody reported, even Belichick, though he'd won an edge, let's be honest, even Belichick would say, okay, everyone's even here. We're fine. It's because other people aren't doing it fairly that others, it's almost like an arms race to lie. Just make the penalty so severe, leagues, that this ends and that decreases inside information. It makes the betting not only more fair for the audience or for the our listeners, but just bettors in general, but it is going to stop corruption. Because that trainer that Fez would advise to do it, they get caught, and then you hear about all the corruption. That's not good for the leagues either. When we come back, a whole segment on it was soccer. When we come back, we're getting to the extra good stuff. Kawhi Lakers odds.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a few moments, we are going to get into the Kawhi Leonard watch to find out where Vegas thinks he'll end up.
And we're going to tell you hypothetically some historic odds. Thanks for joining us. Each weekday, we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now on the Strip, 102 degrees. The neon is chugging. Fez, real quick before we go back to Jonas, I've got a new game I envision. It's something where we take, you know, there used to be these ethics columnists. I think there's still, it's like, you know, my girlfriend did this and I'm thinking of doing this. Am I in the right? It'd be so hilarious. People sending in going, hey, listen, I'm thinking of stealing from the bank and taking that money. And Fez is like, well, who wouldn't? I mean, it's like, there's no, if there's money at the end of the rainbow, Fez is like, go for it, baby. Is that fair to say, Fez?
I don't own an integrity company. Yeah.
He doesn't own the company. He doesn't. Oh, Lord. At least you're honest. That's what we appreciate. What we talked about quickly recapping in the first segment was the soccer game. Congrats to the Americans. But also the injury. Key player, maybe best player. I think consensus best player. Late scratch. What's the obligations of the leagues? Fez, you made a great point we didn't even get to in the first block.
Yeah. What about all the fantasy football players out there? Guys that are small potatoes, $10, but they're relying on the league to give them accurate information. They put A.J. Green in their starting lineup. Imagine how they feel. He's not on the injury report. Then they find out after the game that he was at 50%.
And to me, that just is more millions being risked on these games. Some people might like it, some people don't. I think if you're listening, you're okay with it, though half our listenership doesn't bet. They want to know more than their buddies, and we appreciate that. I don't think there's any ethical concerns about, hey, let's bet a little something on a football game. You know, Joe Friday, he was a cop, right? Remember on Dragnet? This is what he said.
I like to have a little something going every day. Maybe nothing big, but a little daily recreation don't hurt anybody.
I agree, Sergeant Friday. And to me, the idea we came up with that the discipline should be the player who is misreported is out for two games. You know what it does? It makes it where that player is going to be the most motivated to make sure he's fairly reported. So now imagine you're the quarterback, tight end, whatever, your knee's hurting. Hey, I got to get on this injury report. Oh, I don't know. We don't, you know, we want to fool the. I'm not missing two games for that. It ends everything, all the misreporting, if you simply made that rule. And the fact that the NFL or whatever league doesn't do it, and the NFL has actually probably been the best at this, they haven't just enforced it all that much. I guarantee there's going to be serious controversies from inside information related to injuries that will hurt a league so much more than just enforcing the rule.
And to your point, the league does take this more serious than other leagues because there was an incident early last year where Ryan Tannehill was listed as a full participant in practice early in the week, and then by the time Sunday came, he was out with a shoulder injury and the league looked into it.
Okay, and to what consequence?
Nothing happened. No punishment. They couldn't
find
enough.
So a lot of jibber-jabber, but listen, lean in and listen. Here's the key. Just follow the money, Jonas.
All right, speaking of money, the money for Kawhi Leonard is out there. We know the teams that are involved that want to crack at Kawhi Leonard and make him their new superstar. What does Vegas think of the odds currently for Kawhi Leonard?
Now, we actually have to abstract this because the books, they're very scared, scaredy cats. They don't want to win 99%, the cockroaches. They want to win 100%. So they don't put odds up because they think, oh, someone might get inside information, bet it, and then we're going to end up losing a little something. So they want to avoid that at all costs. But we can look at the odds for the Lakers and see that there's a lot of optimism. Kawhi's going to the Lakers.
Yeah, so current odds for the Lakers to win the championship, I'm going to call this a consensus plus 150, RJ. It has been dropping precipitously over the past few days.
Ooh, now, go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, and the other two teams that are involved with Kawhi, the Raptors and the Clippers, their odds are going down to win the title for next year. Raptors right now 14-1, Clippers 16-1. Those odds wouldn't be available if Kawhi was likely to go to either one of those places.
Now, that's fascinating. Now, Fez, just off the cuff, what would Toronto be, do you think, if they got Kawhi?
They'd be the number two choice. The Lakers would still be favored. Toronto would be about 6-1.
And currently Toronto is?
14-1.
Wow. So that's telling us Toronto isn't. Oh, Jonas. I you know what's good? I'm safe. Because I made the great bet with Jonas at even money. I said Kawhi's gonna stay. He stuck to his convictions, laid a horrible price, but hey, that's part of being a Joe. And then I think it was the next day. I said, I got a bad feeling about him staying in Toronto. It just felt like Kawhi did such a good job of giving the last visual in that parade. Hey, I'm part of you, you know, at least this year, I'm part of you guys, Canada, baby. And then quiet. And Fez, you got a theory. I dismiss about 90% of them. The crackpot ones don't even make air. Oh my gosh, we should tape the pre-production. That could be a hit on YouTube. Fez's crazy ideas. But this one, it got me intrigued.
Yeah, yesterday was Canada Day, July 1st. So that's basically their July 4th. So think about this. Do you think Kawhi wants to ruin Canada's July 4th, if you will, by coming out and saying, hey, I'm going to the Lakers the day before or the day of Canada Day? Of course not.
You messed this up. Here's the theory. Yesterday was Canada Day.
Yes.
I didn't know that. I'm proud I didn't know it, but here we are. If Kawhi was going to say yes to Toronto, it feels like Canada Day would have been the perfect day to do it.
The perfect day.
And I get this whole idea that he wants to visit. How long does it take to visit? He's got private planes on the way, you know, on ready at any time. It feels like that day came and went is a bad sign for Toronto.
Agreed.
Right? And the flip side is if he was going to sign with Toronto, wouldn't that have been the perfect day to do it? So I agree. He wouldn't have signed. I don't think if, you know, I don't know how aware. I mean, is it as big as the 4th of July up there? Like, is it that kind of day?
It's big.
How do you know this?
My friend Leon's a pro better and he's from Canada.
I thought it was one of your girlfriends in high school that was in the Niagara Falls area that no one ever met.
Are there that many girlfriends I have from high school?
No, it was the mystery one that no one ever met.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
You get it, Brad?
Yeah.
All right, guys. So the Kawhi Leonard, the Lakers, the Raptors, the Clippers are all involved in this Kawhi Leonard watch. Hypotheticals, if he goes to the Lakers, they are historic, according to Vegas. Is that correct?
In the following way.
Yes.
That if you take Durant's Golden State team and say they've been the biggest favorite ever and would continue to be, other than that, this Laker team with Kawhi, regardless, I mean, I guess at that point the theory would be they would fill out the roster projected the best way they could, is what the market would do, is project. They'd be the biggest favorite in NBA modern era, let's say post-1980, except for the Durant Golden State teams. So bigger than MJ, bigger than Shaq and Kobe. I mean, just go up into bigger than the Spurs ever were. So Fez, I mean, and I tend to agree with it. I'm usually a skeptic with this kind of stuff, But you think what, minus 150?
Yeah, minus 150. Let's face it, you're going to have three of the top five players in the NBA, RJ. When have we ever seen that?
Is this the new Fez? Are they all tied for? Oh, wait, you've actually given. Read your top five to it.
Yeah, so number one, we're going to go ahead and have Giannis. Number two, Harden. Three, LeBron. Four, Kawhi. And five, Anthony Davis.
Harden above Kawhi.
No, Kawhi. Yeah, Harden above Kawhi. Yep.
Harden above Kawhi.
Kawhi only played 60 games, so I docked him
down. He only played 60 games because he wanted to be there when the games were important. You're not still worried about him. He was limping at one point for 10 seconds during the Milwaukee series.
Not on the injury report.
We're sure we're not discounting him? In a minute, we'll discuss how would the Nets, with KD healthy, do? Because obviously next year the plan is he'll be healthy. And how good is New Jersey? Oh, I always keep saying Jersey. How good is Brooklyn? And it's fascinating to think about if the Lakers get Kawhi, then next year Brooklyn's healthy. Wow, that will be two super teams like we've never seen. You'd be surprised at how big or how much love Brooklyn would get in that situation.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we'll take a look at a little bit of history for one sport. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
We're going to talk some Knicks, too. Oh, the aftermath. The horror. Fez, Jersey. Let's get this on the record. I disagree with you here, but you and longtime bookmaker Maddie Holt agree, and this is about Brooklyn. So let's play the hypothetical. Now we could say if KD were healthy, or just, hey, fast forward a year, not much is probably going to change, major. How good is this Brooklyn team with KD on the court?
Brooklyn will either be the best or the second best team on the court.
Okay, so what you're saying is, and just it's like a riddle, is if the Lakers have Kawhi, they're going to be historic favorites right up there with Golden State, with Durant, but bigger than MJ and all that. You know, the only, maybe the other way to say it is the second team ever to be minus money.
Yes.
Even MJ was less than 50, or right around 50% to win. Lakers would have better than a 50% chance to win if they sign Kawhi. Okay. Then even Brooklyn with KD would be second.
Yes.
But let's assume Kawhi doesn't go to the Lakers. So it's a normal year. Then Brooklyn with KD would be the favorite?
The favorite to win the NBA title.
Does that make sense to anyone? I mean, and again, this is multiple serious people saying it. KD, obviously, questions about his Achilles, his recovery. It's uncertain, let's say. No more questions with him than anyone else, though. He is, a big player like that. It's harder. And Kyrie is someone that was a net negative for Boston. And then we dug in. Well, you could say, well, RJ, they're starting with a playoff team. But other than Russell, I'm not sure if there's an above average player on the Nets. We went through, looked at, maybe give your kind of recap, Fez, of, don't go player by player, but other than Russell, who's now gone, Brooklyn, what do they got?
Yeah, all five of their starters are rated as below average. You might make the case that their center, Allen, was a little bit better, but bottom line, the squad does not look impressive.
Yeah, and we took a look at the analytics, the real plus minus and the PERs when judging the players, and all of them pretty much consensus. Average at best, most of them below average.
So I think it's fair to say there's not a starter on Jersey this year Brooklyn. That might be a fine. On Brooklyn, not a starter who's clearly above average other than Kyrie.
Yes.
All right. And we can debate the decimal point, but I don't So explain the rationale. I guess I'm saying it like I'm looking at the USA Today and saying, why is this crazy guy saying? make your case.
Extremely deep team, worked well together, played well together, and bottom line is they're over under for.
So these above or these average or below players played well together, but lo and behold, probably the worst glue guy. What's the opposite of glue?
Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, the guy who melts glue is coming in. So you're saying the intangibles of the team that's being disrupted and uprooted from the core is the driver. Whoo, dog. That's your answer?
Well, they're supposed to.
Wow.
Believe it or not, they're supposed to win 47 and a half games. That looks crazy high. That's the season.
Slow down. They're supposed to win 47 and a half games. Who says?
Atlantic City. That's their season to win number.
Okay. Now, we bet against those numbers, right?
We do.
So this would be circular logic if we're letting that dictate.
So we're going to bring that down to like 45, RJ. So if that 45 is about the right number this year, how many wins is KD going to add to that 45?
Okay, so how many?
I think 8 or 9, right?
I don't know.
Depends how he recovers.
His first year back? But even if he wins, they win 53. That's the favorite.
And the new watered down NBA, the highest season win number.
What does
54.
That mean? Watered down.
All the top teams have regressed a little bit. Milwaukee's not as good. Houston's not as good. Toronto won't be as good. All of a sudden, 50.
Well, first of all, hold on. Toronto would be as good if they sign Kawhi. And
fair enough.
All right. So, Brad, does this make sense? Oh, well, let's Jonas. What do you think?
It doesn't make sense from this standpoint. We've seen Kyrie.
That's a bad spot for me.
Well, no, because we've seen it. Just go back to last year's Celtics. Ask the question. It was last year's Celtics team without Kyrie Irving better than the Nets team without Kyrie Irving. I think the Celtics had a better roster, and we saw what happened. So how would this team all of a sudden be better if he's got a less of a supporting cast around him with Durant injured?
I hadn't thought of it that way. Is what he's saying is let's keep Kawhi, right? All right, so let's assume he goes to Toronto. So, because if the Lakers are historic favorites, that confuses things. So, Kyrie, let's look at him with the team around him. So, he had Boston around him this year. Next year, but let's assume with KD, he's going to have KD and a bunch of average players. Wouldn't Boston be better, the supporting cast around Kyrie? And this is a team that didn't even make the conference finals.
Yeah, way better on paper. Something was just
so this is like some magic Durant thing. Durant's going to come along, even though when he was in his prime, his last year in OKC, and he had Westbrook, yet he still couldn't win a title. But somehow with Kyrie and a bunch of average players, he's going to.
Maybe my Brooklyn projections are optimistic.
But your Brooklyn projections are in line with a lot of people's. I think Durant's been underrated in a way for a while. It took people a long time to appreciate how good he is. I think he might have moved towards overrated, especially with the uncertainty around his injury. I don't think you can dismiss that. When we come back, two subjects. One, the Knicks, the aftermath, the rubble. Also, Fezzik and I are on the same side, and we're against the media with Golden State.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will talk about one team that everybody seems to be forgetting or dismissing. But we do need to start, though, with those New York Knicks who have been in the news and not favorable news after they struck out on Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
The news is how people are reacting to the news, which is awesome because it's fandom. You know, Colin always says, fan, fanatic. How often as an adult do you get pure joy, right? It's limited to the most important things. But if you really care as a fan, you can have pure joy, but you also can have the angst. And boy, do we have examples of that. So let's start with Stephen A. this is a Knicks fan hardcore, obviously known for going big with the emotion. And we said, let's look at everything he said about the Knicks after striking out and put it together into a little montage. Let's listen.
$70 million in cap space. Porzingis gone. And we don't get KD and we don't get Kyrie. No way. This can't happen. But it happened. They can't get somebody to come to Madison Square Garden. But because Brooklyn's got Sean Marks, and because Brooklyn's got Kenny Atkinson, and because Brooklyn has Live Nation, and they're Brooklyn. In 3 years, the Brooklyn Nets have accomplished what we've been waiting for the New York Knicks to pull off for a half century.
Well, I got to be honest. I personally like Stephen A. He sounds like he's been drinking. I mean.
I hear you, RJ Bell. I hear you.
I mean, not, wait. I mean, you got to love it. I mean, this guy is coming from the heart. And then yesterday, we had on Dave Rothenberg, who does local radio there. And it really, now this is a guy who is not super emotional. And he was getting mighty emotional about it also. Let's listen.
There was no multi-layered plan. There was one plan. We're going to make an offer to Kevin Durant. We're going to hope Kyrie Irving comes along for the ride, and that's what's going to lead us into the promised land. They moved on from Kristaps Porzingis. I'm not saying he's a star, but he just got a crazy deal from a team that understands how the NBA works in the Mavericks. And the Knicks had no vision for him because they had a plan. It's almost comical. I almost feel embarrassed to tell you. I mean, Todd Gibson and Reggie Bullock and Wayne Ellington, Elfrid Payton. This is what your 2019-2020 Knicks will look like.
That was yesterday on Straight Out of Vegas. Jonas, you are at the nexus of fandom, radio, media, the LA clubs. What are you feeling about the Knicks stuff?
I think it's great for what we do. I find it hysterical, and I just love the outrage. No games have even been played, and we're all just assuming that's a wrap on the 2019 Knicks. I think it's awesome.
Well, I tell you, if you want, I'll give you 20-1 on.
I'm good. I am not going to invest in James Dolan. I am good.
Boy, I do think it's fascinating. What is it about the Knicks that makes them so distasteful? Obviously, Dolan is the default, I think, answer. And then you look at the Lakers. I mean, could you say that New York's had more disruption, drama, controversy than the Lakers recently?
No.
But somehow it doesn't bother the LA. I mean, people in LA are just, or the players seem okay with it.
There's almost an expectation in New York now that they're going to fail. Like, they just assume they're going to fail. Like, you couldn't have been that surprised they didn't get Durant or Kyrie Irving. I think there's just an expectation there. They're just used to
but
it now.
Maybe it's the opposite. The expectation is we're New York. We're going to sit here like Buddha. And if you look at the list of free agents that they thought they had a chance for, all the way back to LeBron, the first time he left Cleveland, and it was swing and miss, swing and miss, swing. And still, what was the talk after striking out Sunday? It was, Giannis comes up in 2 years, yep, we'll be fine. You know, some of them were saying that. It's like they're like 0-19. Personally, and I'm just going to speak from the heart here, I am going to start calling it the curse of Rowan Alexander Barrett. That's all I'm going to say. I'll fill you in tomorrow.
The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are back tomorrow straight out of Vegas right here, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and also on the iHeart Radio app.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.